Hi, my name is Eric De La Rosa, and welcome to the Wright Brothers Podcast. Be sure to check us out at stingerehs.com or on Instagram and Twitter at stingerehs.
Hi, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Wright Brothers Podcast, where we sit down with Harvard University Applications Commit, Bailey Teets. Listen as we talk about her love for playing field hockey, her experience in high school, and much more. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Wright Brothers Podcast. Today I'm joined by my co-hosts Eric De La Rosa and Jacob Welsko. And our guest of honor today is Bailey Teets, Harvard Application Commits. Boys, would you guys like to get us started for today?
So, Bailey, how's your quarantine been and stuff?
Quarantine. It's pretty boring. Honestly, there's not much to do. I've been working out in the mornings, and then I do schoolwork, and I eat a lot of food, and I go on TikTok, and I go to bed. That's
what life. Time do you typically wake up? Because that's something that I've been having a hard time with.
Oh, it depends on the time I go to bed, honestly. I try to wake up around 9:30, but it's a struggle.
I have an alarm set for 9 in the morning every day, and I've never actually stayed up at 9.
My alarm is set for 1:30 p.m. I've got it at that point. I don't even have an expectation.
No, it's set for 9:30, but it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. So I know you're usually, at this point in the year, pretty busy with field hockey. So what's it like not having, you know, that sport in your life that's been pretty constant for most of it?
Yeah, so usually our spring is actually kind of our off season, but we still do spring tournaments at colleges. And we've had to cancel all of our college tournaments, like Lehigh and Lafayette. So there's really nothing we can do. We're trying to push out workouts for the team, but I know it's hard for the freshmen especially because they're in eighth grade right now and they're coming up and they have no idea what to expect, and usually this is their adjustment period. So as a senior, you want to make them feel as comfortable as possible, but it's hard considering the circumstances.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing field hockey? Sorry, Eric.
No, you're good.
Ooh, I think I started playing in fourth grade and I became a goalie in fifth or sixth grade.
Gotcha.
So what was it like? What was the freshman experience like for you?
Field hockey wise?
Yeah.
It's definitely an adjustment. In the summer, we train 6 days a week. We're only off on Sundays. And practices, we wake up every day at 5:30. We either lift or do runs. And then there's always turf time after where we spend 2 hours on the turf. So just committing myself to that was definitely an adjustment freshman year. That's why I feel bad for the upcoming freshman this year. And then once school actually started and combining that with schoolwork, it's a lot of time management, especially with Emmaus field hockey. You need to definitely manage your time.
Yeah. So everyone knows just how good Emmaus field hockey is. How do you feel that Emmaus field hockey is going to help you succeed at Harvard University?
Right. So a lot of people who go on to D1 sports, high school programs, especially field hockey, aren't always as intense as Emmaus. When I went on visits like to places like Georgetown, a lot of the girls hadn't even been in a weight room before, like, or had a weightlifting coach. So we're really lucky with that. It's a lot of mental toughness also. So what I was talking about balancing academics with field hockey, that's obviously at a place like Harvard, that's going to be extremely important. So as much as the commitment kind of sucks right now, I know it is preparing me and making me stronger. So yeah.
Nice.
To follow up on that, I know me and Aiden have both had our spring sports canceled. You as a fall sport athlete, assuming that you do have a season, how do you think that this whole quarantine is going to affect the season in general, and how do you think it's going to affect Emmaus's longstanding success?
Right. So when we thought things were going to be normal, we have a really good chance at states this year. So assuming the season is still on, we're really looking forward to that, but also we can't actually get on the field, the athletic director said, until July 1st, which means a month of our training is pretty much down the drain, and it's just trusting everybody to be working out at home and keeping up with the workouts that the seniors are pushing out. So as much as our training does suck in the summer, it also prepares us for season. So it's something where we're all going to have an extra level of personal accountability to take. And it's just going to have to be, we're all holding ourselves to a certain standard so that when we get together on the field, we'll be able to just improve and hopefully get the state championship.
So what's it like, because I mean, in general, you know, we're all juniors at this point, and we've kind of been going through the process of picking colleges for a long time, and Harvard, at least for, I think, kids in America, is kind of like that magnum opus, like the college of colleges. So what's it like knowing that, you know, you have a pretty certain chance of now going to, like, you know, one of, if not the best college in best colleges in the United States?
Yeah, it's definitely a stress reliever. Right now, I know a lot of people, especially juniors, don't know with a lot of the standardized testing, like SATs, what's going to happen with that. Mm-hmm. Going on college visits, everything's really happening virtually right now. So to know I already have a place kind of secure definitely makes me feel a lot better. But like I said, I still do need to apply. And in general, I'm a pretty, like, overthinking person. So I can't say all the stress has been taken away.
Oh, my God.
Who is that?
I got that railroad.
Should I start playing a marimba in the background that we can have it all together?
Oh, my gosh. I'm in the Shoemaker parking lot right now.
That's a great place.
Shoemaker? Yo, I hate Shoemaker.
Listen, I went to the Punji. It was better.
Yeah, Bailey and I were chilling out. Dude. Bailey and I never dared to venture over to the Shoemaker swings.
Yeah, no, absolutely Shoemaker. Not.
Shoemaker Elementary, I hated my time there. I never want to go back. Every time I have to go to, like, Evan's, like, open house, I, like... I have to, like, mentally prepare myself.
How was it that bad?
Listen, I don't even know. In elementary school, I was not the best behaved student.
Eric.
This is self-brought upon you.
Definitely. I got in trouble a lot. No, it definitely was. I got in trouble a lot.
I was just a weirdo. I was bizarre. I'm sure Bailey can attest to that.
You still
listen,
are.
You were a pretty cool kid.
Bailey, I used to dive into the mulch to try and get attention.
I never saw that. If I did, I'd you never did? Agree with you, but...
Wait. You would just, like, as if it was a swimming pool?
Well... It was me and Cole Gerhart, and we're like, you know, it'd be freaking cool if we just dove into the mulch. Like, what do you think would happen?
Absolutely. You're like, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. And then I did it, and I'm like, wow, that wasn't too bad. I better do it again. My, like, caveman brain was like, ooga booga, dive into the mulch.
Oh, my horrible. Gosh.
What a weird time. And then I remember one time I stole Blake Shantz's book. He's not going to remember this, but I stole his book. I have no idea why, but it was, like, one of those, like, I survived books.
Oh my God.
I have no idea. But he got so mad. He, like, chased me around the playground. It was one of the most petrifying experiences of my life.
Dude, all I remember was the only thing I know of Mukunji was when we had field day, right? And they would bring the kids from Shoemaker. They bring the kids from Mukunji. They do a giant field day.
It was so competitive.
Do you remember, when that freaking helicopter landed in the field? I stole the newspaper clipping somewhere. The Blackhawk helicopter came, and it was, like, the coolest thing ever.
That was...
Me and Cole were like, dude, that is the coolest thing. I was like, Call of Duty, man. Oh, my God.
Your 10-year-old self.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't have Call of Duty. I just knew it was some cool thing that involved helicopters. I'm not even sure it does. Oh, man.
No, but yeah,
so,
my
best... Bailey.
Oh.
Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, my best memory of Shoemaker Elementary was in fifth grade. I won the jump rope competition at field day, first place. Wow. I was so proud
of
myself.
That's an honor.
And then that's when I decided I was going to change my life.
Right.
Eric. Jump rope competition. So, Eric, would you say your life turned around heading into middle school?
Oh,
dude, this man loves middle school.
Middle school, at Lower Mukunji Middle School, best 3 years of my life. Goddamn.
Bailey, did you go to Iron
Man? I did.
Yeah. Hashtag St. Thomas gang for life.
Yeah, Aiden just all 53 of us for a few years.
I just disappeared. I was like, I'm going to go connect with God. And that's what works. So then I'm back.
Okay, anyway.
This is fun.
Bailey, how have you been adapting to online school and learning and stuff?
Yeah, so like I was saying, so basically, I deal with overthinking and stress a lot. Mm-hmm. So the whole system where all of our assignments come out on Monday, that overwhelms me a lot.
Right.
Because it's like so much I need to do. And I know I can get it done by Friday, but I'm the kind of person who feels like everything needs to be done like right when it's put out.
Right.
So I've been trying to do it all towards the beginning of the week. And then Thursdays and Fridays are usually pretty much just like whatever. I've also been going back to work at Nothing But Cakes for curbside pickup. You guys should hit it up. And that's another like balancing act that I need to do because it's like 7 hours of work on some days. So that's 7 hours that I could be doing homework.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that a lot of teachers don't really get is that there are kids working probably like a lot more than you think. And like, I mean, I know it's supposed to be like 1 hour of work a week. And I think in a lot of places, it's like kind of tentative. I mean, some teachers have stuck to that and that's, you know, that's good on them. But others have kind of, it bothers me. I brought this up in another podcast, but like for a class where the following year, you're not taking one that follows up on it. And obviously we're not taking finals if it's not an AP class. Yep. Like, I just don't see the need to, like, try and squeeze in the rest of the curriculum. Yeah. Like, you can give us, you know, assignments. Like, my history class has been doing a great job of that, you know? It's been it's not trying to achieve the full curriculum, but it is, you know, giving assignments that are going to give you some insight into, you know, whatever we're learning about. I just think teachers have to take into account that there are kids working and, you know, kids like Bailey who have, like, even sports-related stuff they have to do with the working out and everything, so...
Very true point.
Very true.
Yeah. Bailey, what would you say has been your most challenging class over break?
Oh, BC Calc I've been struggling with. It's rough. Especially.
Do you think that's just like in general, not just over break?
Okay, yeah,
it's BC Calc.
Fair.
Whenever it's like not AP, CP, or honors, I'm like, oh god, I don't want to know what's in that class. BC Calc.
Like,
what does tell you the first thing about whatever's in there?
I can tell you what BC stands for.
Beyond conception.
Oh my gosh. No, it's rough, and the AP exam's coming up. I'm kind of nervous for that.
What about the BC exam?
Yeah, literally, it's the AP BC exam, and I'm just like, nope.
What? Oh god. How so is yeah, so if, as far as AP exams and like have you taken all your standardized tests like SATs, ACTs
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, so all my SATs are done. Admissions was okay with the score that I got, so I don't know if I'll be taking it again. If I were to take it again, I'd probably take subject tests instead of just taking the whole thing over again because at Harvard they like to see subject tests especially for athletes. So
yeah.
That's out of the way. I don't plan on taking ACTs because I take SATs. And AP tests are just kind of what I'm focusing on for the time being.
Gotcha. What do you think you'll – oh, go ahead, Eric.
All right. As a Harvard commit, do you think that going into your senior year, you're going to be able to kind of relax a little bit more? Or do you think that you're going to, like, try and push yourself even more now?
Senior year, I'm planning on chilling out a little bit. Right now I have bare minimum credits that I'm taking for next year. To be fair, I did take like almost 9 credits sophomore year. I didn't have a lunch some days.
Wow.
So I really pushed myself at the beginning of high school so that now, I mean, I know where I'm going. ACTs are out of the way. Hopefully I can just chill out a little bit, focus on the college application.
Wow. Imagine having foresight.
Imagine preparing. Yeah. I am proud of my freshman self because right now, if I had to do that again, I'd probably just wait till the very end.
Mm-hmm. So, aside from just being able to maybe take a step back with classes and stuff, whenever senior year does start up, what are you really looking forward to?
Oh, senior year. I'm really looking forward to hockey season.
Right.
Because I really, like, biggest fear right now is something happening and not being able to play come fall.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially with Emmaus, there's so many traditions in Emmaus field hockey. There's senior night that we all do, which I know is kind of uniform for all the sports. We also do a senior capture where the juniors go to the seniors' houses and literally capture the seniors, and we all have, like, a brunch. And it's all, like, you talk a lot about, in Emmaus field hockey, about respect and earning respect. And freshman year, you are at the bottom of the totem pole. Like, freshman year is rough. And then as you start to get older, you become a sophomore and a junior, that respect starts to build. And then by senior year, you kind of get everything you've been working for.
Right.
And it's kind of the year where, like, all the work you put in, you know that it was worth it because you're a senior and you're getting recognition and you're able to lead a team. And this year specifically, state championships are what we're all kind of looking forward to. So to miss out on that would be really tough.
I got you.
Yeah. So you've kind of talked about how tough it was your freshman year, and everyone kind of knows how intensive a program field hockey can be. What, as a senior, are you hoping to do to try and include freshmen into the group? And what experiences from your freshman year would you like to share as to, like, do's and don'ts in Emmaus field
do's
hockey?
Do's and don'ts. Okay, well, I don't want to share too much, but my freshman year, a lot of us, like, we'd get lost on runs because coach would have, she would literally print out, like, these pages and be like, turn left, run this distance, turn right, and we'd all be expected to somehow make it back to the high school.
Wait, can you give us, like, an idea of how far you're running? Like where are you ending up?
I'm talking, like, it's supposed to be a 3 mile, so if you get lost, you're screwed. And it turns into, like, 4 or 5 miles, and you're just, like, well, and freshman year, you can't run that well either, so you're just, like, in the middle of a neighborhood, you stop, and you, like, look around, and you're like, well, here I am.
Oh, my God.
And, like, when we would get lost, it'd be like, okay, well, they'll find their way back. Like, there was, it was tough. It's a lot of, like, freshman year, you have to do all the tasks that nobody wants to do either. So you have all the responsibilities for the team, like making sure the contract is away, and go look it out, making sure everything's on the bus for games and stuff. Eric.
Yo, all
right, dude, Eric in the car. Bailey, you sound
listen.
Like you're
Bailey,
in a
Bailey's in a tornado.
Bailey is literally
you cannot
in a
talk
wind
about. Cannot talk about me.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, Eric, you're just like the sprinkles on the ice cream, man. You got like some like yo, you got random vehicle like back, shooting bro through the air.
I love
sorry,
the polar.
Seriously.
Okay, so as a senior, this year's past seniors that are graduating class of 2020, they actually set a really good example for how like we can all be friends and like it can all be an inclusive thing rather than like people fear the seniors, which I feel like is what the classes before that kind of did when I was maybe a freshman or a sophomore. It was kind of like don't talk to the seniors, like don't speak up, you're a freshman, just like wait your turn. But last year's seniors, they really tried to make it more like we're all a part of this, we're all doing the same thing, we all have to get up at 7 a.m. no matter how much it sucks. So my class specifically has really talked about how that's just kind of the example we want to keep putting forth. Because we don't want freshmen, the last thing they need, especially in quarantine, is to be scared of us. They just kind of need reassurance right now. So just making sure it's all a group thing rather than, like, dividing us by classes.
Right.
Yeah. So, not to completely change the topic, but going into Harvard, what are you planning on majoring in or, spending a lot of time doing
so
up
right
there?
Now I'm taking AP Gov. I'm super interested in law and the Supreme Court. So I'm planning on right now, could change before then, I still have a lot of time, but I'm planning on studying law, and ultimately the goal would to be like a justice or Supreme Court justice.
Wow.
A lot would happen before that, but
if so,
ultimate goal.
Yeah.
If we need a lawyer one day, can
I got
we call
you.
You?
I
can
got
we call you, Bailey? Wait. Just to be clear, no matter what
as
the crime
as it is,
no matter what.
Listen, if you actually,
I may or may not, like you know, steal a Frosty machine from my local Wendy's.
Okay, of all the crimes you could have thought of. The first thing you think of is stealing a Frosty.
Is that a defendable offense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you have one? That's like the best
can
thing
maybe
ever.
Buy one.
That's true.
I mean, I could try. I'd see what
can
I can
you
do.
Buy? I'm gonna look on Amazon right now.
No, I'm sure Bailey knows. Bailey knows everything. Bailey, can you buy a Frosty?
Where do you
machine?
Buy? I don't know.
I have done the research.
Wendy's
Frosty machine from a 2011 Wendy's. I don't know why it's so old.
Yikes.
But a model 35833 is going to cost you about $1,800.
Nice.
Oh, Bailey, I can't pay for that.
But
I'm just going to have to sneak into one.
But it's same day shipping and it's free.
Same day shipping. That's why
it's same day shipping.
Oh boy, sign me up. I just want to know who has a Wendy's Frosty machine from 2011 and why. And why are they willing to ship it to you for free? Dude, this is very sketchy.
I am just about ready to buy this.
Do it.
This is fantastic.
Mom, I bought something.
Look what I got.
Yo, the description goes, makes very thick milkshakes.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Please don't ask. I'm not going to lower on price.
I know what I have, and you will not be
Dude, right. Wait. Where are you Black finding market. This? Where
Dude,
are you
finding eBay. This? I swear.
This yeah, is eBay.
This is on eBay.
On eBay, not Amazon. eBay is where those kind of people reside. Your That's 2011 That's frosting bad. Machine guys.
You can't get that on Amazon. Jeff Bezos wouldn't approve.
Jeff Bezos would not approve.
eBay.
Oh, God.
Bailey, where did you get your love for law and all that stuff?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's a little bit different for me. I don't have like anyone in my family that I'm like, oh, they're a lawyer, or, like they were studying this. So it's not like it's really been like my family has tried to get me to do it, or I've seen other people in my family do it. It's just, especially taking AP Gov this year, I realized that's something I'm super interested in. Awesome. And the thing, like, with me is a lot of times I feel like assignments are, like, mandatory or that it's a burden to do rather than, like, I actually enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And Gov was one of the first times I was like, this is actually pretty cool. And it didn't feel like schoolwork for me. It just felt like it was something that I would want to do.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I know your mom's a teacher. So, I mean, obviously you're a very driven person. So do you think that, like, did your parents have more of an effect on your work ethic and, you know, your overall success throughout the educational system? Or do you think you yourself were able to push yourself, you know, obviously with the assistance of your parents?
I know a lot of people who, like, have the time management, like, that I try to put forth or stuff. A lot of them say, like, just from me talking to them, that it's because of their parents. Like, oh, my parents are making me do this. My parents are making me do that. It's a little bit different for me. I feel like a lot of it comes from me, and they've always been there. Like, there's been times where they actually need to tell me to, like, calm down and, like, take a break or, like, not worry about it as much as I am. So that's been super useful for me. It's not like they're making me do something. They know that all they trust me to be able to get it done on my own, but they're here if I need to talk to them about it. So they're always super encouraging.
That's good.
Gotcha. So Bailey, what would you say your fondest memory from your childhood, you know? Because now you're basically becoming an adult. You're going to be a legal adult next year. You're going to Harvard. Like, it's scary. I'm glad I haven't picked a college yet, purely for that reason.
My fondest childhood memory. That is a good question. Growing up, my great-grandmother was super influential. She passed recently, but she was there kind of when my parents weren't able to be, because they both held really demanding jobs. So she came up from upstate New York, and she stayed with my sister and I when we were kids, and she kind of raised us. Not like my parents didn't, like they definitely did, but she was there to help when they had work to do, or if my mom was working till 5, she was there to pick us up after school, which was really nice. So literally just any memories I associate with her, that was kind of my entire childhood. She taught me how to read even when it got hard and I didn't really want to. We did a lot of like singing, dancing. I was like, man, look at the dance I made. She was like, you should be on Broadway. And I was like, I should. And I was awful, but she made me feel like I wasn't. So just anything that I associate with her is very fond.
Gotcha. What would you say is, like, one of the most important, like, lessons she imparted upon you?
Okay, going along with the reading thing, when I was first learning how to read, I remember it so, like, vividly for some reason. But it was the book Green Eggs and Ham, and it was the book that I was using to teach me how to read. And I got so frustrated because, like, it wasn't coming easy enough as I thought it should be. I like had never read before, but I was like, this should be easier than it is. So I was like opening up the book and I start reading and I start reading out loud, and I get to page like, after sounding it out with her and everything, I get to page like maybe like 10, 12, and I literally threw the book on the floor and I was like, I'm not doing it. She was like, yes, you are. And I expected her, when I threw the book on the floor, to like get mad at me, because that's not something that I would usually do. And she literally like got up, picked the book up, handed it back to me, and was like, keep going. And that's just something that I always think about. Like, if things get tough, no matter what it is, even if it's not reading Green Eggs and Ham, like, the lesson is always there to keep going.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There you go. Could be BC Cal, but you just got to keep going. I'm sorry, man. BC Cal got to me. Oh, man. All right, everyone, this has been episode 5 of the Right Brothers Podcast. Thanks for listening. We love our fans. We hope you enjoyed the windstorms and trains.
Very scenic.
It's been a wonderful podcast, and thank you, Bailey, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Bailey.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.